Going on, man. This is Ice Nigma.
Yeah, and this is T Nigma, and this is Enigmas Unchained. So now we go to misunderstood. Okay, so question number one in misunderstood: what do you think was the most misunderstood aspect, characteristic about Pop? Now I think CJ's been chomping a bit to get into this section. so you can go ahead and go first, CJ.
Oh, did you say? Oh, I completely read the question wrong. So I might not have to answer.
How did you read the question?
I thought you said underrated, and I could have just been sipping too much of what was in my cup when I read the questions you sent. So fair enough. So I think I answered that question though on the last one. I think his ideas about socialism is something that was greatly misunderstood about him. And you know, that's always the case. When you start talking that equality for economic equality.
Oh bro, you might want to shut that up.
That's when they get mad at you, bro.
That's un-American.
They let King rock till he started talking socialism. That's facts. All I'm going to say.
You're right. You're right, man. Look, chaos of community. When homeboy started addressing poverty in black communities and talking about unionization, and he was making them tours to Chicago, that's when he became a threat. There was we'll let y'all suckers go to school. We don't care about that. But the moment you start talking about taking my money, though, You ain't coming across that. So, man, I agree with. I'll add to that. To just add on to this, piggyback off that. I would say his view on black love was highly misunderstood. You know what I'm saying? Because like we know he didn't have the best relationships, but he had a very very high view of black love. But I know the two cases. You know, like the two cases with the ladies. Got in the way of that. We don't know what happened. I'm not saying that the girl lied. I'm not saying that he, I don't know. We know he did 18 months because of the situation. But I think that like his views on black love was ahead of his time in a sense, you know, like because he was kind of chasing an ideal for it that he knew was going to take like literally probably like 30, 40 years of time to really rewrite the way that we love ourselves as black people and how we also love our heritage as people and how we also love our like men loving their women and women loving their men. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that was one of those joints where he was like, they just didn't get him. He wasn't a Pan-Africanist, but he had very Pan-Africanist views when it came to like, you know, knowing your identity and stuff like that, when it came to being, but people took that as a form of radicalization. And I was like, that's not what he's doing. He's not telling all black folk to jump in the ship and go to Africa. That's not what he's saying. You know what I'm saying? He's saying that your cultural identity is here, yes, but you also have an extension in Africa. And it is important that you understand what that actually means. You know what I'm saying? So I think that was, at least for me, that was one of the most misunderstood things. So on you two guys, what you got?
They tried to make him into like this, like aggressive, uncivilized human being. Sound like I'm beating a dead horse.
But y'all about to say like, isn't that Tuesday? I mean, I think everybody on the call has faced something like that already. You know, like you say something, it makes somebody mad, and they are like, that guy. He's either uneducated. Or we can't trust him because he has anger issues or something like that. You know, it's the standard trope, you know, to deal with a black man is to call him angry or call him ignorant. So, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, again, and then like I say, like, again, to bring up him spitting into the camera. You know what I'm saying?
Still my favorite moments.
You know what I'm saying? So you got that. And then you got, Yo MTV Raps. When he was on there talking about how they jumped dude and they used that against him in court. So, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
So, so for every highlight that we've brought up about Pop, it's like they're like, oh, okay, well, yeah. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Y'all say he did some good stuff, and that's cool and all. Yeah, we might have listened to it a little bit. But what about when he did, when he had him and the rest of his hooligan friends, as they like to call us.
Mm.
When they were on TV talking about what they did to this man.
Yeah.
So you got that. Like I say, again, hit him up. Hit him up is like the prime example. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's pretty much, like you say, like that's default.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you want to see, to me, I think if you wanted to see Pac at his worst, when he was probably at his most paranoid, was probably like around the time he put out Hit Him Up.
Mm.
Cause you know what I'm saying, like you said, like Sean had brought up, at that point he didn't know who he could really trust.
Yeah.
So because, you know what I'm saying, when he look up, you see Big and Puff. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, the first thing come to your mind is, well, hey, did y'all know? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
So from that point on, he wasn't in his right state of mind. So yeah. So that's how I feel about that one.
All right, Sean.
I was about to slide out of here and grab me a refill on this cup, but I'm gonna hold off because I also read the question the same way that CJ did. So I'm like, okay, on that note, let me just let this ice. let me leave that alone. But you know, I would say this, and this is something that we're all guilty of to a degree. But I think Pop, unfortunately, because he was in the spotlight, it hit him and affected him a lot more. Sometimes your message is overshadowed by your presentation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there was already a book on Pop going back to the early 90s.
Yeah.
There was already the initial thought that you had of him.
Mm-hmm.
So you had that, and then you had the spitting in the camera, and then you had to hit him up. You claim to be a player, but all that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You had, so all those moments, those were individual moments, but it was added to what the perception of him already was.
Yep.
So even when he was, on the calm down, he was on the intellectual, and he was, really putting stuff out that when you sat and really listened to him, you went, okay, all right. People already had their mind made up.
Yeah.
And then anytime he had any individual, situation or whatever happened or didn't happen, with the young lady or whatever, and him and his entourage, he was there.
Yeah.
They were just looking for reasons. We know this. I mean, just all of us, as men, or as people in general, when people decide that they want to have a reason to believe something, they'll find a reason.
Facts.
That can, yeah. And no matter which direction that goes in. If they decide, okay, this is how I, see him, this is how I see her, and from that point on, you're just looking for a reason to validate what you've already come to, the decision, yeah. or the thought that you already came to. And Pac suffered from that as much as any celebrity in my lifetime personally. You know what I mean? I mean, there's certain people that their perception just overshadows who they really are for the most part. In sports, probably Allen Iverson is probably the most glaring example as far as in sports in my lifetime. The perception overshadowed him from the moment he had that issue at the bowling alley and got locked up for it before he even got to college.
Yeah.
And he was fighting that perception.
Oh, yeah.
It's up to this very day.
That's fair.
Unfortunately, same situation. You know what I mean? You watch Juice. Okay, this kid, something wrong with this kid. He already on some revolutionary, So we ain't trying to hear. If you sat and listened to a lot of his interviews that he had, particularly before he got locked up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
When he was in California, when he initially went to California, that Pop.
Yeah, yeah.
That Pop.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a brother that got something to say.
Yep.
Right? But once you came to your conclusions on them, you weren't trying to hear that. Because, and we've talked about this on other subjects at other times. Remember this one, Trev? Remember this, CJ? Sometimes, for a lot of people, it's more important to be right than to get it right.
Yep.
And people had already decided that they were going to be that they were right about Pop from the very beginning. And they he never had a chance in a lot of people's eyes, you know, for them to get it right about.
Yeah.
So he was always going to be misunderstood.
Yeah.
And it was what it was, unfortunately.
Facts. Yeah. And this is a perfect segue to this next one, too, because then it deals with, like, what was your view on Biggie versus Pop?
I just heard
like four people like shut up, Trevor. So I'm done. My mouth is closed. This is
CJ. Handle this one for us, man.
Well, can I, in the interest of time, because I do have to bounce, can I answer three and four together? Because I think they overlap.
Yeah. That's fine. Yeah.
For the issue between him and Pac, I think was his own paranoia, right? Whether we can debate whether Biggie should have known or did know, here's what I believe to be true. And I can only speak as a viewer on the situation, not somebody with intimate knowledge, only a musical fan.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I don't think Big knew anything that happened with what Pac, or Big was involved, let me say that, with anything that happened with Pac. I think a lot of Pac issues was his paranoia, and rightfully so, when you go through like a near-death experience.
Yeah,
right?
Multiple times.
I think he was traumatized.
Yep.
And that's what happened. I think he crossed the line, though, with Hit 'Em Up. And I because you know, if I know Chicago rap, but have you thinking that Hit 'Em Up was PG-13? Like, Chicago rappers will diss people dead, homies, and completely disrespect
them. Yeah, disrespectful. Yeah.
Yeah. But for the 90s, Hit 'Em Up is one of the most disrespectful things I have ever heard. You got to take it into account. It's kind of like how Batman, to get nerdy for a second, Batman in 1989 was dark for that time. When you take into account that time period, Hit 'Em Up is dark.
Yes.
It's just dark, okay? Like, for the 90s, it is dark. In 2021, probably not. But when he's saying the stuff that he was saying, that's crossing a line. Like, that's just this literally saying to me that we can never be friends. So that's where he crossed the line. And my view on Biggie and Pac was, it was hard because you liked them both, or at least I, right? Even if I gravitated to one more than the other, I like both of them. And I can identify with Big in some sense of being the guy of saying, bruh, like, I ain't got nothing to do with this. Why you coming at me? Like, your beef shouldn't be with me. It should be with them. Like, so I can see feeling blindsided. So, yeah, those are my, like, two viewpoints. But Hit 'Em Up, I want to get on that. That's the most disrespectful thing at the time that I've ever heard. Because I've heard more disrespectful stuff since listening to Chicago rapper ever. Yeah, like, on their gangster stuff, because they just don't care. But at the time, you couldn't tell me, kind of like how Boondocks, where you couldn't tell me Ice Cube was a gangster. Like, you couldn't tell me Hit 'Em Up was not disrespectful. And it was just, even I heard it, and I was like, bruh.
Yeah, to this day, every single time I hear that track, I crack up, because I was like, to me, it's so foul, but god dang it, it's so foul. If you get I was like, first off, yo, I was like, whoa, okay, that's your first words. Like, there's no warming you up. He ain't doing nothing. He like, nah, we getting in here now. I'm like, god dang, bro. Yeah, so I mean, I think for the interest of time, three and four can be combined for everybody else. You got a roll, CJ. We appreciate you, brother.
Thank you, man. Yeah. Thank you for the listen to Villains of Vinyl when you can.
Also, oh, yeah. Do a full plug real quick. Do a full plug.
Real quick, listen to VMV. We talk about hip-hop and comics. Trevor will probably disagree with all my takes on comics, but that's why he's my friend, and we get along so well, because he challenges me. I challenge him. But listen to that. It's about comics and music, and then also VCW for your pro wrestling fix. Thanks, man. Love you. I do got to go, though.
Love you too, man. Have a good one, bubba.
Right. Stay safe out there, bro.
Take care, man.
All right. So you two gentlemen, we can combine these two. Like, so what was your view on Biggie versus Pac, and when did Pac go too far?
Man. Well, hey, I think we all agree that they hit him up. He did take that one step too far.
Look, I love that song. I'm not even gonna say in front of you, man. I loved every second of that song. It's still a part of me now that I'm like, if you play that joint in front of me, I'm probably gonna be in a corner laughing my mind off, because I was like, this is some of the most disrespectful, you know. And it was intimate detail, you know, like right. when Pac got, like, it wasn't just like, oh, I'm just gonna say that your woman is ugly. No, he like, no, I got. He's looking like I got receipts, you know what I'm saying? And he's just throwing receipts, and I think that's what hurts so bad.
Yeah.
He had actual, it wasn't fake information. He was literally coming to information he knew. So yeah, that joint was, whew, yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Hit him up, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, I don't need to say too much more. It's not already been said, but I'll say this. Just to wrap this, I would say we had, you know, beefs before, right? We had, you know, beefs before in hip hop. Probably the most prominent example, at least to me as a young kid before this, was what was going the back and forth with Cube and NWA, specifically Easy. Cube was like, dang, man, y'all need to look at y'all papers, man. We, you know, the money ain't right. And he stepped away in that whole vacuum, right?
Yeah.
Once he moved on and did America's Most Wanted and Predator.
Yeah,
but Hit 'Em Up was the first. Where we from? We call it on site. Like, we're not discussing anything. Y'all ever seen the movie Bronx Tale? Like, Hit 'Em Up was the first time where you lock the door and you just walk in and say, "Now you just can't leave." you can't leave.
Look. On site is a perfect explanation for this, though.
It was on site.
I'm beating you up on site. Like, it's like the moment that I see you, you gonna catch these hands. It felt like that when you listen to the song.
We won't explain it.
Yeah,
because we don't have to.
We don't have to.
Yeah, like, we don't have to have it. You know what I'm saying? It was the first on site diss track.
Man,
you know what I'm saying? You can go Common and, you know, Cube, and they had their thing back and forth, you know, but that was, up, but Hit 'Em Up was the first. And I would say this, you know, and I think CJ, he touched on it perfectly. Pac, I believe, genuinely thought that Big was aware, not what was going to happen at that particular moment, but that he was in the know as far as, hey, man, you know, be like, just basically be on your P's and Q's, because, you know, things can happen. And he felt like Big did not give him that heads up. And Big is saying, bruh, I didn't know. But again, once Pac made up his mind,
yeah,
that was it. And from that point on, the way he went in on Biggie and anybody that was associated with Big at the time, including a young Hov that was coming up,
the
line was drawn, right? And that was it. It was pretty much on site, you know. And do I believe that down the line, you got to, and again, I said this before, and I'm going to say it again, we got to remember how young these cats was.
Yeah, like, Pop,
think about this. We're recording this podcast in 2021.
Yeah.
Pop would have been turning 50 this year. So basically, we're getting to the point now where he's been gone for as long as he was here.
Alive, yeah. Thanks.
We got to remember how young these cats was and where they came from, right? Do I think that the time would have came where they would have sat down like men and, you know what I mean, talked through it? Absolutely. But was that going to be any time around the time that he dropped that?
No,
absolutely not.
No.
There's certain things you just can't say.
Yeah.
There's certain things you just don't do. And Hit 'Em Up was the first on-site can't have it that we've had. And, you know, it was unfortunate because in some ways, all the East Coast, West Coast stuff and everything that went down because of it, I still believe played a role in the fact that we lost two of them, both of them brothers within months of each other.
Yep. I agree
completely
with you.
Completely unnecessary.
I agree. Ice, you got anything?
Man.
We all done talked about Hit 'Em Up. And honestly, we could talk about that song needs its own show. That segment, he's lining that sucker, man. I was like, this dude was, he had a notebook. You know, so I like whenever I look at that, I hear that song, I like see him with a notebook of information about every single, it's like just got information where you're like, oh, yeah. What'd you find out about him? All right, good. Thank you. And he just made a notebook of information to slap, just to slap them over the head with it. So yeah, but go ahead, brother. Yeah.
Man. I remember when Hit 'Em Up first came out. Like, and then what eventually became the East Coast, West Coast war.
Yeah, yeah.
That hurt my heart, man, because, you know, at that point, you know what I'm saying? Like, you had cats that was from the West that we like.
Yeah.
Had cats from the East that we like.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, but at the same time, you know what I'm saying? Like Outkast said, like, we got something to say too. So,
yeah.
We, you know what I'm saying? Like,
thank goodness they did.
Oh, yeah.
They were the peacekeepers. Yeah. They were the peacekeepers. I mean, as crazy as that might sound, you really process like what the South did. The South.
Okay, but let's be clear. Yeah. Let's be clear. About the South. Why they were the people. Let's be clear.
All right, go ahead.
There was an understanding down in, you know, Atlanta. There was an understanding down in Louisiana, particularly Shreveport, New Orleans. There was definitely an understanding in Memphis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Y'all don't know us, but don't bring this here. I just said this a moment ago because you bring this here. Bronx Tale. Now he's Cali.
Yeah.
So there was just an understanding, like, y'all keep that on the East, y'all keep that on the West, don't bring this down here.
Yeah, I mean, like,
right? And the reality of the situation, if we're taking everything into account, hip-hop was born in the East. It definitely had a huge boom, you know what I mean, in the West, late 80s, early 90s. But if we're going, we'll say hip-hop as we know it, 80s, 90s, 2000s, and we just came out of the 2010s. So in the four decades of hip-hop, could the argument be made that the most, not influence as far as importance, but the most, like, the dopest, like, basically, if you go South, East, and West, and you take in all artists and all catalogs, group or solo, I'm taking South.
South.
Yeah, like, it's not even a doggone question. I mean, you got Outkast and J. Cole. That's enough. that right there is enough right there. I'm like, I don't need to ask for anybody else.
I ain't mean to take the conversation
but it was kind of doing that.
So,
but you good though. I mean, but that's fair. And that's fair. I think that's what made it very interesting for us though, down here when we watched this stuff happen between Pac and Biggie. You know, we had people in Columbia. I mean, we're in South Carolina that was like kind of trying to do the West Coast, East Coast thing. But it didn't really fly that well because at the same time, ATLians was like, you know, what we getting prepared for, like, we're seeing Outkast doing stuff together. I'm like, who these cats is? You know what I'm saying? Then Mitchell was like, hey, yo, man, you heard this thing from No Limit Soldiers. Like, who was that? You know what I'm saying? Because he would come to school with a bunch of freaking, you know, stuff. And I'm like, who is this? Like, yo, listen to it, man. And we listening to music. We're like, oh, who these cats are? And they're like, oh, that dude's from, you know, he ain't from the like, from California, New York. He's from, like, Duluth. I'm like, what? You know, so we're getting, so you're right, though. Like, in our perspective, it wasn't as detrimental. But you talk to a cat from the East Coast, they lost people. Bodies hit the floor on both sides because of the situation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's at least when I say it took it too far. It's like that Pac and Biggie didn't understand. Pac didn't understand the power of his mouth. Biggie didn't understand the power of his silence. That's how I put that.
It's a good way to cap it, man.
Yeah, like, just saying.
I think Big, to my knowledge, as far as the only, like, public, you know, interview that I can remember. Y'all remember Rap City back in the day, mm-hmm, with Joe Clay?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He sat there with Joe And he was talking about, you know, how it, you know, messed him up. He was like, look, man, no matter what our issues was, you know, I never wished death on him because ain't no coming back from that.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he was like, I wish I'd have had a chance to talk to him. But he was like, look, at this point, ain't nothing I could do about that. I got to, you know, get out here and get back on. That's when he was getting ready to drop Life After Death.
Yep.
I think he had an accident and, you know, something happened with his leg. So if you remember that Hypnotized video, he was barely moving.
He had a cane.
Yep. So he had transitioned, man. He was like, you know, the Ready to Die big was not that big anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Life After Death big was a dude that was ready to transition, do his own thing. And like you said, his silence. He needed to let it be known, especially if he was going to go out there to LA. He needed to let it be known exactly, you know what I mean, how in a more profound way.
Mm-hmm.
I hate what happened to him. And despite everything that was going on, I wish he was here and much respected. Those things, at least to my knowledge, publicly his voice didn't go to the right people out west.
No.
And he went and flew into the Lions Den. Unfortunately, you kind of—I hate to say—you kind of knew, but you kind of had this sense. He may not be coming up out of there, man.
Yeah.
Put it this way: ironically, despite where they both were in their lives at the time that they were both taken, mm-hmm. I was more surprised to hear Pop than I was Big.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
Same. Yeah.
So even though Pop was out here, wilding, right? You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Trying to figure things out. He was ready to, you know, break away probably from Death Row, get the records out. I think Machiavelli was the last record he was contractually obligated to do. Mm-hmm. He was, you know, figuring out, but still wilding. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And even despite all of that, when he took his five and checked out a few days later, I was shocked.
Yeah.
Despite, for whatever reason, I was shocked. But then, you know, six months later, March of 97?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, when I got the news Big, I was like, well, okay. From the moment that the word was out that he was going to Big Les, same thing, you know,
Big Les. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I remember hearing from her that he was going to go out there to basically promote Life After Death.
Yep.
And I was like, you know what?
That ain't a good idea.
I wouldn't be surprised. That ain't a good idea. And again, just coming from my background, I'm, you know, and cats that I listen to as far as how to move and how to operate in certain situations that they taught me, when I heard that, I was like, that ain't the move, man. I said, he may not get back to New York. And I hated that I was thinking that way, but I couldn't help but think that way. And then we heard what we heard.
Yeah. And so it's crazy because, you know, like you know, Pop died in Nevada. And Big died in Cali, and I think it was more shocking that Pac would die on the West Coast. It was like, and I think that's why, you know, people were pretty much saying, you know, Suge had something to do with it, you know, and then other folks start speculating otherwise, you know, like, and we don't know the full answers right now. I mean, that's a case apparently, unfortunately, that just won't be solved. You know, like it just is what it is. You know, it's like we just have to take, we have to deal with the pieces that we got on the table and look at the way the game changed after they left. You know, so here's the final question. And what made him one of the most iconic stars in America? And actually, we can just say in the world, honestly. We talked about his genuineness in the beginning. You know, but what other attributes can you think about him and his music that really grab people into like putting him in a place, like for us, putting him in a place where he's like a superstar?
No doubt. And I'm gonna go ahead and take this one because I got a rap here, you know, shortly. Pac is a true original.
Mm.
I didn't say was, even though he's gone, I said is.
Yes. Yeah.
He is a true original. And I think if you go across many different realms and many different spectrums, there one thing that, you know, every true original has in common is that you really hadn't seen anyone like them before, nor since.
Hmm.
I haven't seen anyone quite like Prince before. No,
that's fair.
Since.
That's fair.
I haven't seen a boxer quite like Muhammad Ali before. Hmm.
Since. Yeah.
There are certain individuals who are singular.
Yeah, yeah.
And Pac is singular.
Mm.
Now, if you're talking, if you want to have a debate as far as, okay, catalogs and bars and this and that, there are a handful of rappers that I personally have Andre 3000 as my number one, and that's never going to change. I don't care if you don't have a solo true hip hop album. I've heard what I've heard from the moment I heard it was a track called Sorry on T.I.'s album a while back, Trouble Man album.
Trouble Man.
The moment I heard that track, that feature on that track, I was like, I'm done. I don't need to hear nothing else. But anyway,
I love that track, man. It's
okay, so you know what I'm talking about.
It's a great track. Yeah, it's a great track.
But Pac is singular. I think his sincerity is singular. I think his influence, and again, this man was really active as the Pac that we came to know for 5 years.
Yeah.
Basically from 91 through 96. And he lost some time because he was locked up.
So we can say give or take 3.5 years, honestly. Literally 3.5 years. Because he lost a year and a half, 18 months. Yeah.
He's a one of one.
Yep.
And that right there never ages.
That's right.
That right there never gets forgotten. When you truly are a one of one, when there's something that separates you beyond just what your work was, we know he was a workaholic. Mm-hmm. I mean, how much Pac material, probably some of it's still unreleased, but among the material that was released, how much did we get after he passed? There's been more that's been put out after he passed than when he was with us. And consider the fact that he put out what? Apocalypse Now, Strictly For My, Me Against the World, All Eyes On Me, the Thug Life Thug album, Life. And the Machiavelli joint, the 7 Day. So that's six. Five and really 3.5 years because he was locked up for some of that. And we've gotten more since. This man was a workaholic. They talked about like the stories. Dr. Dre, I remember an interview that he did before he dropped Compton, finally, you know. Compton, he said, you know, I've been very fortunate. He said, I've been very fortunate to work with some great artists. He said, there was nobody like Pac. He said, that dude was a machine. He said, that dude can pump out like five full songs, you know what I'm saying, in the midnight session. Just give him a little something to drink, just give him a little something to smoke, and he can literally... The work ethic, the sincerity, and the one thing that I hate is that we lost him so early. Can you imagine what Pac would have evolved into? He would have got, I think he would have transcended music. He would have imagine Pac with social media. Imagine Pac last year when you got that man kneeling on that man's neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds, and you got a 40 something year old, you know, with the social media platform, Tupac refined, finally matured into the man that, you know, he always wanted to be. Imagine that guy.
You know, it's crazy because, like, you know, that you say that, because I think that should be the final question, you know, like, it's literally thinking about like what he could have been, you know, like why he was alive. I mean, if he was alive today, because I think about like what Jay-Z's doing, you know, with being a billionaire and stuff like that. He can like literally sit down in a lounge club and like literally just lay down lines for people that have never experienced, you know, what he's experienced. You know, like he can freestyle about, you know, how men need to actually be doing better about making sure that they build their names up, you know, stuff like that. And Jay-Z's done something with himself where he's no longer the Sean Carter that we knew when we were younger. You know, this Sean Carter can take the same music and go into a country club and sing the same song, or actually give them something else. I think that Pac had the ability to make hip hop not have an age limit. And then that's always been my beef with black music, is that with black music, unfortunately, a lot of the stuff, when a rapper gets to a certain age, they cap. And you're like, okay, so what else can you do? Oh, well, I'm just going to rap. I mean, like, you can't be doing this gangster-ish until you like, you know, 75 years old. You know what I'm saying? It just gets old. You're like, this just gets old, yo. So do you have anything else to say? Jay-Z's the only one that could put out, you know, the album. What was it, a 444?
Yeah.
And like 444, which is an ignorantly good album. You know what I'm saying? That is just literally a black man dealing with himself. And
dealing with the consequences of, you know what I mean?
Of his own actions. Man. Yeah, of his own actions, right? Mm-hmm. So you think about, when we think about hip hop now, unfortunately, you don't think about it except for it being for like a bunch of belligerent younger children. You know what I'm saying? Like, but then you think about like R&B, you think about older people, you think about even pop and rock, you think about older people. Rap is the only one that had a cap on it that I truly do believe that if he was alive, that cap would have never existed. That's my take. I don't think that cap would have even, I think he would have tore it up. He'd have tore the cap up. He'd have been 35, 45 years old dropping albums like Jay-Z for the most part, like literally challenging that norm that you can actually change. Your music can change, you know, but right now, unfortunately, all of our music now that we have, well, I don't say all, but most of our music in Black culture has a age limit. You know, like we would probably said it. You like hear a dude that's 35 years old talking about like sleeping with like teenagers. You're like, whoa. Like, bro, what are you talking about? You know what I'm saying? You're like, nah, bro, this is a bad look because the substance of it does not actually have a substance that can reach beyond where that person's brain is at that time. But Pac, like I said, we've been saying it all night. Pac had an ability to draw you into a moment and experience. J. Cole does this. And say right now, like that's why I'm glad we got J. Cole and like Kendrick Lamar. We got guys like that out there that can engage you and be an adult. If you feel me, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They can engage you and be an adult. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But they don't have to be this other thing. And you just turn up at the club version, but like literally he could sit down with you at a dinner table and this song could be playing and you can actually converse. So yeah, it's stuff like that that I miss the most, you know, about like what hip hop used to be. It used to be something that like literally was timeless. But a lot of tracks now are for a time, unfortunately, you know what I'm saying? Like, so it's like these cats that they don't think that their music will you know actually impact generations in a particular time. So it's unfortunate. But I mean I really do believe that you're right. He would have been out there. You know, like I don't even think it would have got that far, honestly. If knowing what he was thinking about doing, if he was allowed to make the stuff that he wanted to do, there wouldn't have been no struggle between West and East Coast. Now he'd have united West and East Coast. You know, so
you talked about how you just talked about how Hov has evolved. I mean, you go back to Reasonable Doubt, go back to Volume 1, 2,
yeah,
and that Hov,
yeah,
in his 20s, and then you know, listen to 444, right? Listen to My American Gangster, not his best, but
yeah,
the album that I vibe with the most, because that's when I think the transition was really starting to like falling, right?
Yep.
Hello,
yep.
Brooklyn, you saw the transition, you know. That guy. So You see that in Ho, and then you think about Pac again, 100% authentic and intellectual. Mm-hmm. And this dude, I keep harping on this because I think, you know, for the generation that came up after us, that they know of Pac, but they didn't grow up with him.
Mm.
Understand that, you know, Pac, Big, these guys were in their early 20s.
Yeah.
Dealing with all of this, right?
21, 22. So
yeah, there was going to be, we all made our share of mistakes. Don't talk to me about, don't talk to 23-year-old Sean.
Yeah, fact.
That's a whole nother, we're not even doing that, right? So understand like everything that they was dealing with, if they just would have had the opportunity to learn, you know, like we've all learned as we've grown and evolved, what they could have been, what, you know, Big could have been, what Pac could have been, what Big L could have been, right? Don't get me started. So I'm glad that you was able to glad that we was able to do this one, man, because I think it's going to add a lot of context to, you know, who this man was and just the time that he operated in and the environment that, you know, created the man that was Tupac Shakur.
Facts. That's facts right there. M. Dot, you got anything to add before we close?
Wait. Well, I think Say the question again one more time for me.
Oh no, pretty much we were talking about like what would hip hop look like, you know, if Pac was still alive.
Let's see. I'm gonna say this. It'd be more united than it is, because, you know, granted, it is kind of united. You know, like and unfortunately, you had to have cats pass away for that to happen.
Right? Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like Pop, Big, Big L, Nipsey, You know what I'm saying? Like, those, like, to me, those were like the ones that really like make you think about, like, well, look, we need to stop doing whatever it is we're doing wrong and just come together.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, like, but like I said at the beginning, Pac, what Pac really wanted to do was unite a whole bunch of cats together and just like put out music.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, so you got them. You know what I'm saying? And for whatever reason, I want to bring up UGK for whatever reason.
Okay. Don't be,
like, you know what I'm saying?
RIP Pimp C, another one. Yeah. Okay.
That's savages.
Not even,
that's savages.
Riding dirty.
Oh, yeah.
I would say them, and I would say A-Ball and MJG. I think those are the two that. Those are the two groups that, you know, kind of get lost out. I think we touched on this earlier. Sometimes you bring up certain people and almost universally everybody, oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But on the back end, you wonder, why did it take so long for us to bring, you know.
Yeah.
You was talking about Black Dog and Roots, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, shout out to you, Ice, for bringing up you, GK, and then that whole Chopped and Screwed era back then, man. You know, I certainly had my ratchetness back in the day. With the Chopped and Screwed, okay. Just the other day, I was bumping Based on a True Story, Chopped and Screwed. Shout out to 2 Chainz, I think underrated as well. But I digress. Yeah. Trev, you can go ahead and close this out, my brother.
Oh, you good, man? This has been excellent. You know, we deem Tupac an original enigma because once again, like Sean was putting it in the words, you know, we Enigmas Unchained believe in, you know, people who actually are one in one. It's like, I think that's a very good way of putting it. They're one in ones. Like, so these are people who like enigmas to everybody else that did not have any restraints in what they were doing. You know, I said sometimes to their own detriment, but at the same time, sometimes to change the world. You know what I'm saying? And to change the culture. So, and Pop was one of them dudes. You know, he's an original enigma. You know what I'm saying? He's an OG. You know, like he started that. He made that okay. He made poetry okay for Black boys. He's like, let that sink in.
You know what I'm saying? Concrete.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like he made poetry cool for Black boys to do and not just rap. You know what I'm saying? So like that dude had reach that I think sometimes is very misunderstood. I'll close with this. I remember I was at Winthrop and I was in a writing class and there was this white dude. And he did it despite me. It was messed up too. I mean, we were like, everybody in the class is looking at him like, bro, you don't even know what to talk about. But he wanted to write about Tupac Shakur. And now I'm being serious. This is Winthrop University 2003. And he wrote a paper about Tupac Shakur's life that we know on like a media site. And after the class was over, we asked him, so do you understand what he means by saying, he's strictly for his people? And he was like, yeah, you know, he's just saying he's going to be running the block. And we're like, no, you ignorant fool. Say like you're too busy, like we've always been saying, Sean, you're too busy trying to prove that you're right versus getting right. You know what I'm saying? And I think that particular challenge has to always be on the table, not just like Black versus white, but just in general when it comes to certain things. Pop was misunderstood. And he was also a Black man dealing with trauma when Black men couldn't talk about mental health issues. It's a whole nother plethora of sides of this that was going on with this man that he was like lived a living piece to like what a lot of dudes are dealing with right now, that we can look at his life at that time and cipher what these dudes are going through now and do something, like literally try and figure out what we can do to help them out. But yeah, like Pop, man, I think Andy Mineo said it best, because Pop did a lot more for me than Barack. Salute. Nah, 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 nah. I'm not afraid to lose everything we got. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm in that camp. But I'm like I mean no harm, but he did. I'm saying like I'm in the camp where Pop did more for me than Barack. You know, so that's gonna offend some people. You'll be fine. But until next time, you know what I'm saying? So Sean, go ahead and plug yourself, bro. Plug, champion material. Talk to
him. All right, man. Before I even do that, in closing, I want to say this was a pleasure and an honor. Enigmas Unchained, you know, what you brothers have been doing. You know, I tune in, I tap in, and I continue to be impressed with everything that you all are doing. So keep doing what you're doing, man.
Oh, we appreciate this, that,
this
man.
One right here. So this one right here goes on the top shelf along with the rest of them. You can find me, Champions Material. It's a platform where we talk about different topics. We have different guests. We hope to make you laugh. We hope to make you think, and everything in between. You can find us anywhere podcasts are found. That's Apple, Spotify, Google, and on the official Champions Material YouTube channel. And anytime you tap in, no matter what the topic is, no matter what the guest is, it's always going to be one message. Whoever you want to be and whatever you want to be, always be the champion of it. That's Champions Material. Get at me. Get at these boys right here at Enigmas Unchained. Get at that man CJ and his team over at Villains and Vinyl.
Yeah.
It's all about building. Because when you're a grinder and handling your business, everything else takes care of itself. And I'm done.
All right. So that's it. I love this dude, man. Goodness gracious. I just like hearing the wherever you want to be, wherever you want to be. I'd be sitting here like, yes. So we're going to end it. Solve those enigmas. Do not leave them unsolved. And cover up your face and wash your filthy hands. Please do that for everybody. And Sean, now.
T-Nigma, Ice Nigma, the Shadow Man. We're done.